You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, Nick.
So weird. We haven't done this. It's been a minute. Guys, if you're watching this, you're already dead. No, welcome to...
You've been dead the whole time.
Well, this is a spoiler alert. Bruce Willis, he killed you. welcome to Little Justice Season Dose. Season two. Our first season was just audio. Now we are audio. We're like the AV club at your local high school.
We're like the AV club. Third season, VR.
We're moving into Oculus.
The third dimension.
Third, yes. Oculus Rift dimension. I am Nick Walker. If you're just joining us for the first time, I'm Nick Walker. I'm a Broadway guy. I'm a writer and an asshole. Who are you? What do you do?
My name's Alex. Nice. And... Nice. I don't know. I just hang out here.
He hangs out. He really is just kind of...
I'm just here.
Do you remember how in the opening of Ghostbusters, there's that ghost lady in the bottom of the library, and she's like, shh. That's how I picture you. You're like the ghost lady.
Right.
In the library.
If I was going to haunt... If I was going to, like, die and be a ghost, I would, like, be the most boring ghost ever. Like, just kind of mad at everybody. You know, not doing anything about it, but just like judging. I'd be like one of those judgmental ghosts that just watches you.
You'd be scary the first time just because you're a ghost. But after that, it would just be like, oh, hey, Alex. Hey.
Well, I'd be scary because I look like a 7-year-old Victorian boy.
You do.
You know, naturally, that's my vibe.
We used to have a picture. Alex used to have a profile picture that was him as Jeffrey Targaryen.
Joffrey
Targaryen. No, Lannister. Lannister. I just said
Joffrey Lannister.
Lannister. Good lord.
Yeah,
guys.
We took the photo. They had that like campaign of photos with like half in light, in dark. And so I just put half my face against Joffrey, and you literally cannot tell the difference. I'm gonna put it up
because it's really creepy.
Yeah.
But Alex, now that we're on YouTube, what can they do? What's your favorite thing to say? What can they do?
If you like what you see, and you want to see more, go ahead, smash that subscribe.
Smash it.
Okay. Follow. Yeah. Links in the description.
Yeah. I hate.
I don't know what links are in the description, but something's in the description.
I think it's to Pornhub or something. It's going to be great.
We're going to find some nice links.
It's going to be some great links. Sausage links, link patties.
Yeah.
We're also going to.
Okay.
We also, if you want to listen to this just as the audio version, feel free to listen wherever podcasts are available. And we will be there.
Like literally, we're on Audible.
Are we on
Audible? Everywhere.
I'll call an Audible on being on Audible. That's insane. Good lord.
Pretty cool.
Pretty great.
You know, you can be listening to Harry Potter, which I will say the best series of audiobooks ever recorded.
But Jim Dale.
I forget
Jim
the
Dale.
Guy's name. But
Jim
he,
Dale.
Jim Dale. That's him.
Got you.
So go from Harry Potter 3, the book, audiobook, to Little Justice, the podcast, and then get on YouTube. Smash that subscribe.
Smash that subscribe. Smash.
Be fulfilled.
That subscribe. You know... It's so funny because we're going into this is our season opener, but we wanted to set up our first episode as well. You know, guys, you know, if you're just joining us, you're getting to know me. I'm getting to know you. I don't know if you've ever had those moments in your life when you just you know, there's just a build. There's a build. My therapist says I have anger issues, and. And I did at that moment. I'm not angry now, but I want to say the first episode that you're about to see, if you're watching this vlogged cast, I went dark. I went real dark.
It's special. So we've already recorded a good portion of the season. We've had the time. We've brought in some nice guests. We have an amazing stuff coming for you guys over the course of this upcoming season. We did the first episode a while ago. I'm not even in this apartment. It's my last apartment I was there. We forced Nick to get a nice camera, which you can see.
Yeah.
To get a nice microphone, which you can see. And we came and invaded his space, which you can see.
Yep.
And he's fine now, right?
Oh, no,
you feel
I feel
good?
Great now. Now
you feel okay?
I feel comfortable with all of this.
You're on board with the whole
situation. I've been onboarded.
But this first episode... You know, it's really like a pilot, right? It's like a test. And you did not.
It's as though you know that scene in Independence Day where Randy Quaid makes that decision to drive his drive his jet into the spaceship, and he's like, "Tell my children I love them very much," and then he just goes balls to the wall.
Is this you in this metaphor?
I'm the spaceship. I just blew up.
You're the spaceship. Who is Randy Quaid?
The Beyonce Britt. You know who it is? It's Beyonce Britt.
Beyonce Britt is on a suicide mission, ramming her plane into you.
Up. I was like, I think it's
the
us.
Still
yeah.
broken.
Yeah. Alex and I.
Yeah.
Oh, we're in the okay. Yes. So one of those dual cockpit planes, and it's me and Beyonce Britt in the plane of technology, flying at you, this monster in the sky, on a murderous warpath,
shooting green lasers down at Harry Connick Jr. like I do every Thursday.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
With torpedoes made of nice
right
cameras.
Into my mouth.
And microphones.
And I hey guys, it's on video now. You want to see a magic trick? Oh my God, where'd it go? Do you know what I mean? Look at that. Crazy.
Have you been sitting at home teaching yourself how to
do
that?
No. I already knew how to do that. I didn't teach anything. But I will say.
Anyway, this is a movie podcast you're about to see.
It's also, I mean, look. Look, so that's relevant.
It's a magic podcast. Peter's not panning out.
What? P.S. I just want to say, maybe we can include this in the cold open. I have several limited edition Hook playing cards. Do you know what I mean? Let's get into that.
So you subscribe for a chance to win one of Nick's Hook playing cards.
Yeah, please join we're gonna set up a Patreon.
We'll set up a Patreon, and if you contribute, there's a chance you could win something Nick owns, because he's got more toys than a 6-year-old Victorian boy.
Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah, I do have more toys than a 6-year-old Victorian boy, because that 6-year-old Victorian boy is dead. So I think anybody has more toys than him. But guys.
And you took his toys.
I took his toys. That's why he...
Can't take it with you, Victorian boy.
You can die. The Conjuring, great movie. Anyway, so guys, enjoy. I'm so sorry about this first episode, but enjoy it.
We're so sorry about this.
Really,
but we'll see you on the other side.
This is going to hurt, but enjoy it. See you on the other side.
The technology movie.
Have fun. Bye.
Look at you. You're soaking this in right now?
I've had this day marked on my calendar for quite some time. And I realize, we have these expensive cameras now, and so I can really use this as an opportunity to act, and to give you moments and beats and thought. That's a lot of what film acting is, Alex, what I tell my students, because I don't know if you know, I'm a professor at NYU.
In theater acting, yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. No. I teach at Stone Street, and I teach at, which is the Film and Television Studio. I also teach at Steinhardt and Tisch, so I'm kind
of... With your extensive one episode of CSI film credit?
Well, it was three lines on Law and Order's VU, but who's counting?
You are.
What I teach my students, Alex, is that it's all about the thoughts behind the eyes, right? I just want to ask you, Alex... Now that we're in this medium, that your brainchild,
yes.
Your idea, what thoughts are behind my eyes right now? What are you getting?
Because there's the words coming out of your mouth.
There's the words coming out of my mouth. Very polite.
There's the information being delivered.
Mm-hmm.
It's concise.
Mm-hmm.
It's polite.
Mm-hmm. So polite.
It's level.
Yeah. Super level.
When I look into your, data streamed blurry eyeballs that are like this big on the screen because I have to shrink you down to put you where I need you for this remote recording.
Yeah. What are you seeing?
The end.
Little justice. Fuck yeah.
Yep, great. I'm so fucking glad that you fucking broached this subject. Welcome back to Swearing Nick, by the way. Swearing Nick is back.
Swearing Nick's back
for the first season, but he's fucking back. Listen to me very, very carefully, Okay.
Don't make me start bleeping
now,
again.
I please bleep. We're in season two. We're in the relaunch.
I'm just gonna sit,
it's not just Little Justin, Little Justin movie in Mayhem.
Come on.
I want you to.
Yeah.
This is gonna be like a James Iglehart level fucking reckoning, okay? Here's the deal.
I cannot.
Now,
wait.
When I signed up for this, you are not okay. When I signed up for this shit, it was with the understanding that I could talk with my boy about movies. Okay, that's what I wanted to do. I just wanted to talk with my boy about movies. Now, you have a very decent face. I have a very pretty face. It stands to reason that at some point we would add a visual element to our podcast. Great. Excellent. People can see us now. But here's the fucking thing. This area is my safe zone. This is my space. Not like the app from 20,000 years ago. The actual space that feels safe to me. This is where I write my shit. This is where I meditate. I have this exactly like I want it. Exactly like I want it. Now, the amount of fucking robotic arms that are strewn about my safe space right now makes me feel like I'm in some episode of Black Mirror. Makes me feel like Haley Atwell has bought me as a robot replica of her husband. And you know, like that, I feel fake. I feel strange. I feel like I've been in fake. Like, I've been in fake. You know, and I've been in fake. But here's the thing. What the fuck is this that you don't fucking do? Why do you need to see me? Why do you need to see us? What is so fucking different about it? What makes it so different? Hearing you. Oh, you're just... He's white. I'm black. Congratulations. Discovery. Shit. My computer is buzzing with the power of a thousand suns right across this shit. My God. What the fuck?
Are you done?
No. Well, it's done for now.
Have you gotten that?
It's done
out of your system. Do you know what I've the one thing that I gathered from that entire tirade? Just what it was. It was a tirade. I'm gonna give you that. I'm gonna let you exhaust it. Because welcome, here you are. You know, you agreed to this.
Yeah.
You said, let's do it. And here you are.
Let's fucking do it. Why not? Let's invest.
If the space where you meditate for peace is behind a bookshelf in a chair at a desk in your bedroom, then this is the reaction. This is the emotion that comes out. I think you need a new meditation zone, sir. I think you need a beanbag chair or like an ottoman, like a fluffy ottoman maybe, or a wall, you know, somewhere where you can be at peace.
Everything that you're saying assumes that I have the prowess to help design an apartment. Everything that you're saying assumes that. I don't. I have this space. This is what I know to do. It's a fucking cluttered mess, but it's mine. It's my
space. Well, see, but now
mess.
I have that space. Now I have that space. So this is like our space.
That's
now,
what I'm saying.
You know, now it's like I've moved in. It's like I've moved in.
You've literally moved into my life in a way that I never asked for. I didn't fucking want. Do you know what I mean? And this is 2021 where we're arresting people for shit like this. We don't let people get away with this shit. But now you're in my... That's exactly what it fucking is. You're in my fucking space.
I'm like a supervillain.
Where can I go?
But I'm not. It's remote. You know, technology has allowed me to move into your space without being across the country. I could be on the other side of the country and still invade your space. And I love it.
Thank God. Thank God that you are on the other side of the country. Thank God that you are not physically here. That it's only in this capacity that I have to deal with your Aryan nonsense. Do you know what I mean? Thank the Lord. Because my goodness, I feel... I just... Guys, it is so nice to see all of you. Welcome to season two. I feel unclean. And that's
here
also because
I
haven't showered.
Here we are on video.
We are on video.
Some of us are happy to be here.
I'm happy to be here.
I got some nice new lights. You know?
I'm hanging out with my best friend,
talking movies. Apparently, our producer Brittany's happy to be here. We have a producer.
Brittany's not on the camera right now.
That's
Brittany
doesn't
have to deal with your shit. We do have a producer, Brittany. Brittany's great. I fucking love Brittany. Do you know what I mean? And I fucking love you, man. That's not the problem. Problem is the boundaries. And the boundaries have been crossed.
Boundaries.
One too many times. Just to get here, guys. Just to get to this space. Do you understand how much readjusting? Well, where's the eye line? Are we looking left? Are we looking right? Are we looking above? Are we looking down? Are we in fucking Whoville? Do you mean like what the hell? What the hell, man? Just let me speak. Just let me speak about fucking films. That's all I want to fucking
do.
Do
you guys not
That's
have like
do.
tech? Just Do you not have like technical rehearsals in theater?
We absolutely have like absolutely
time. You got to set things up. Things don't just magically
absolutely.
Appear. You know?
Absolutely.
These things don't just magically.
Absolutely.
You don't show up on YouTube without a light and a camera and eye lines. It's
I think what's going to happen very quickly is that people are going to realize that I shouldn't be on YouTube. I think that's what's going to... Now, you, I think, are made for it. You, I think, are going to embrace this.
I'm already in my head. I'm like, do they have explicit filters on YouTube? Are they going to like tag you just cursing your head off and shut us down?
I hope so. I really hope so. I really want them to. I really think they should.
You're going to have to.
I really think that they should flag us. I'm going to hope for it real hard. I'm going to wish and pray, you know, that these people will understand my pain.
Emails, like, yeah.
I might send some strongly worded emails. I might do that. You know, I might do that.
Well,
this
so
is
here
nonsense.
We are, though.
What is...
Let's make the best of it.
Here we
Let's
are.
Let's make the best of it while we're here. Shall we? Here we are.
Sure. Great.
So, for all the people joining us for the first time out in YouTube land... Tell people what we talk about here on Little Justice besides anger and exhaustion and desperation.
Well, we used to talk about movies. Here? We would be a podcast
a
that we,
ago.
You know, whether it was us two, long time ago, us two or guests, we'd bring on a theme that we wanted to, you know, a theme that we wanted to discuss. We'd pick the two movies that best represented that theme in our mind, and we'd bring them in to discuss them. And it would be a nice, like, it wouldn't even be a competition, right? We're not even arguing. We're not even making the best case for why our movie's better. It's just, like, appreciating movies. You know, that's the space
it
that I
want to
create.
It used to be a very positive podcast. Yeah.
It was. You know what I'm going to have to do? So these beads are from my honeymoon, okay?
What's that?
These beads are from Hawaii.
Got it.
Okay? And that is, these are going to have to keep me safe. I'm going to have to use these like a fucking rosary. So when you hear the click, click... Right, that's just know that that's me rubbing my rosary beads.
Then I'll know
to kind of
see. Now
make...
I can see the click click. You can just hold them up. You get a little visual cue, you know.
That's so great. That's so great. I fucking love it. How have you been, Alex? How's your week? How you doing? Good.
Speaking of Hawaii, yeah, I'm good. So my wife and I, it's been a long time since we've had a vacation. Gone anywhere. So we spent yesterday. Yes. Her 30th birthday is coming up. So I've decided to plan us a whole trip. Obviously, I fucked it up immediately. I booked us things, you know, on the island of Kauai. I booked us hotels and planes and horseback riding and sunset cruises, and I went all out. And then we're sitting there watching TV last night, and she pulls up her phone. She's like, "So actually, the quarantine's still in place there." And it doesn't lift until the 5th.
When were you
and we get there on the second.
That's no good.
So now I gotta go back.
Where were you gonna stay? Where were you planning to stay?
So Kauai, there's like the main section down below, and then if you drive all the way to the north shore and all the way out, there's a place called the Hanalei Colony Resort out there. It's like there's no TVs, there's no phones, it's a beachfront villa. It's like very suited to complete disconnection, which is just what we need. But
that
now I have
lovely.
To re I have to go call every single place that I booked and be like, "I'm an idiot. Please move me without a change fee."
But you know that is the nice thing right now that a lot of, at least right now, a lot of places are still moving people without change fees. You know, you can do that. So that's good at least. It's not like these places are going to go somewhere and walk away. You know, you can still go.
But it's the fact that we'll literally be there when the quarantine lifts. But at the end of the trip. So it's like, hey, like
can I
a couple days?
Can I make a suggestion to you?
You may.
A Nui Nui Cafe. A Nui Nui Cafe is on Kauai, and I guarantee you
on the North Shore.
Is it?
Yeah, I think. It's
south.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Yeah, I think. Well, I don't know.
We'll be down there. I'll take it.
Yeah, Brit.
I'll take it.
Yeah, a Nui Nui
Cafe.
Oh
yeah, we have somebody who can look things up. Like Joe Rogan. Like
Brit.
Yeah,
if you're around,
just look it up. What's that stat on it?
A Nui Nui, A-N-U-E, you know, cafe.
We should be utilizing.
I promise you.
We should be utilizing our producer to look up movie stuff. Well, right? There's like a plethora of movie knowledge, trivia that we could be giving to our audience.
Using.
Instead, we're looking up cafe recommendations in Hawaii.
She has the freaking look at Brit. She already has the address 2360.
She says the exact address, Kihuna, like
Plantation Drive. Is it is that southern tip of the island or northern? Brit. Brit doesn't know. Okay, that's fine. Thank you, Brit. Thank you. Thank you, Brit. That's Brit, everybody. Brit's gonna find out for us. But no, here's the thing. Yeah, everybody who's new to the podcast. Yeah, and if you're new to the podcast, you'll very quickly understand this. We're a movie podcast. We absolutely talk about movies 10% of the time. What we mostly talk about is bullshit. Random pieces of bullshit that come up, and then eventually we'll find our way back to movies. Eventually. And you know, usually around the 15-minute mark, which is now. So, you know, we can transition to movies if we want, but like just know if this is your first time with us, if you're waiting for like, oh, when are they going to talk about the movies? You already watched the video. You might as well like and subscribe. Do you know what I mean? Click the fucking button. Go about your day.
Oh yeah, can we do that now?
Do you want to do
that?
All
right, guys.
Oh Jesus!
If you like what you're seeing, go ahead, smash that subscribe button.
We're not saying that. We're not saying that. We're
links
not going to
the bio. Where do I point? We got to come up with some stuff.
It is south, by the way.
Stuff's down there. Like it. Subscribe to it.
Oh Jesus!
Read it. It's on
Christ.
The south. Okay. So it's we're going down there for the sunset cruise. We're going down south, like where the subscribe button's at. So if you like what you're seeing, smash that subscribe.
Is there
that's never going to get old.
It is going to get old. It's not going to go past this episode. This will be the only episode where I allow you to.
It's not allowed to get old. This is YouTube culture. Every episode, you have to tell people to smash the subscribe button or they don't know. They forget.
What
people
happens
are like
if
cats,
you don't?
They need to be herded.
Do we
die? If you
die?
Don't, then we don't get paid. You should want people to subscribe. You should want people linked into this content so that they get updated so they watch it every week. And then we cash that check.
I'll tell you what I don't want.
Check. 10 cents, 20 cents.
I don't want people to feel obligated to hear what I have to say. Because that's just a lot of pressure for me. I want to feel like I can say whatever I want as a black man in America and not be determined by their subscribe, because this is what happens. If people subscribe, if you guys subscribe to this, which again, we are so thankful if you choose to do it, but that means that now we're in some way beholden to you. Stop fucking saying that. That means in some way we're beholden to you.
I think you're just, you're being old. You're being old.
You know
what's beholden to them? Well, we are.
Okay.
We are.
You just said it. Cool. Great.
Just
so
the internet, man. I can change my mind about anything I want.
Well, speaking of the internet, let's actually do them a favor, do them a solid, and talk about our movies today, because, you know, that's what we're here for. We're not here to smash subscribe buttons and shit.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So we're going to talk about movies.
But our audience is,
trash. So guys, on this podcast, we talk about movies and we pick themes, like I said, and we pick movies that best represent those themes. What is today's theme, Alex?
very fittingly, technology. The technology movie.
The technology movie. Now, this is funny.
Was this an anger pick for you?
Are you so averse
to technology?
No, when you hear my pick, it's going to be so fucking perfect. It's going to be so fucking perfect, and you're going to understand why I picked it. Here's the deal. Right, if you go back, and please, at some point, go back through our first season. It's with the Broadway Podcast Network currently, Little Justice to the Broadway Podcast Network, all audio, but you'll see that we have many, many, many genres that we've picked, about 34 genres at this point that we've picked. We've never done a technology movie. We've done movies that dabble in technology, that talk about technology, but never a technology movie. And it was not an anger pick for me when I suggested this to Alex and Britt. It was more a, I feel like I can find a movie that will say exactly what I'm feeling about what we're doing at this current time.
That's what I was going to ask. Did you pick this movie to tell us what it's been like for you having to put a tripod in your meditation bedroom?
Yeah. Yeah. That's been a trying time for you.
All right. And this since our common language is movies, I think that this will be very telling for me about how you feel on the inside. About your writing desk slash meditation bubble. Yeah. Yeah. So tell me, Nick. Tell me what makes it? There it is. That didn't take long. We got props.
Well, I wanted to.
Or
feel
Nick's
protected.
Just got a bunch of Batman paraphernalia. Is this how you feel protected? You're like that kid in high school who becomes the Joker as a defense mechanism.
Have you read Whiskey Land? That's exactly what I feel like right now. Okay?
That's very fair.
Please
do the rest of our video podcast in a Joker mask. For all of you who are listening to this with audio, and please take the time maybe to go to YouTube and check it out if you want. But Nick has donned a Joker mask. I think it's Dwight from The Office being Joker. Right?
No, it's not.
It's not actually Joker.
Heath Ledger as Joker. It is Joker.
Well, then the plastic's maybe a little mask. Just too wide or... Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. No. So,
it looks great. It looks great.
Thank you. It hides my anger. I was talking to Chris Jackson last night, and he was talking to me about how I have anger issues. And I hadn't really thought about it before, but I do. And this mask perpetuates them. Makes me feel like... Yeah,
I've never... How long have we known each other? We've known each other for...
12 years? More no, 15 longer. Year. No. 15. Yeah, it's been 15.
15 years. Yep. I've never known you, well, maybe once or twice. I can't even remember the scenario, but I've never known you to be as consistently angry as you've been while tech shooting the video transition. This is the angriest thing.
What does that tell
you? Are you okay? That technology is something that you cannot relate to. So I want to hear why.
Boom.
Or what a technology movie is to you.
So this goes to my core. This is something that I realize I actually do have a very genuine, like not even joking, a very genuine problem with technology. And it's very interesting to me. Because I read one of the things that I realized as I was preparing for this movie is, even in my scripts, I purposely do not include technology. I don't include cell phones. I just don't like anything that lowers the stakes of something or like sets it in a period. And that's just like an aesthetic choice in anything I write. I just don't like that. I don't like if I put in that, you know, I'm using a Sony, you know, whatever Z7, whatever camera this is. You know what I mean?
ZV-1.
Great. Then you know that it's set in 2020 at least. Do you know what I mean? I don't like that. I like things that can be feel timeless. And so technology already is pissing me off because it doesn't.
That's interesting. Because I feel like that. Yeah. Well, it's something we've talked about before. Yep. I think, but the effect that all this new technology has on storytelling, where before, people had to take the time to, even with just like landlines, right? You had to take mm-hmm. the time and the effort to make a call. You had to write a letter
yeah.
to go see somebody.
Yeah.
It's like everything's become so convenient because of technology that dramatically things have become, the stakes have dropped for us as people.
Well, and here's what I would even say to that further. My opinion on that is that not, mm-hmm. I would even say the stakes have dropped. I'd say the stakes have switched because all of a sudden now, as with Frankenstein, as with everything about any sort of human made creation, right? You are now getting into territory of, was it worth it? Was it worth it for all this? Because, and this is a perfect example, we're recording this at the what we hope is the tail end of this fucking pandemic. Good Lord, we hope that your lives have been okay. We hope that you've stayed safe and sane and healthy during this crazy, crazy time. Fingers crossed. But technology, to me, is something that inherently, and so many movies about this, so many stories, in the wrong hands, goes horribly awry. And we have proven time and again that we are the wrong hands for anything like this. We have these immense platforms that bring us together, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, some would say TikTok. I don't subscribe to it. But these things that are supposed to bring us together, but really what they do is distract us from the fact that people are dying. People are dying. And like, we can go on and watch a little funny, you know, WandaVision meme. I just finished WandaVision. So that's where my mind is at, by the way. It's a lot of WandaVision references today. But that's my thing, is like, I feel like, yeah, I feel like technology is often just misused. It's more often than not that convenience breeds a degradation of ingenuity and of mindfulness and awareness. And that is why technology in general pisses me off. Now, granted, we would not have survived this pandemic without technology. So like, on the other hand, I understand that is a very necessary thing.
I was going to say.
Please say.
Yeah, I was going to say, there are benefits. Imagine, you know, the same thing happened in 1918 with the Spanish flu.
Yes.
And people trapped inside forever. The yep. fact that we can continue to work, continue to connect. We played board games with my sister across the country over webcam the other day. Like, you can literally, you're not really isolated when you're isolated. And there are so many bad things. I agree. There are so many ways in which the whole thing has become corrupted and commercialized and sanitized and brought out the bad in people. But it's also connected us a little deeper. And moving forward out of this pandemic, now we've built a structure where we feel comfortable this way. You don't feel comfortable with this, obviously.
No, I don't.
Having to
this
have a
camera.
This is
fucking trash.
With having to connect
yeah.
this way. But families,
yeah, I don't
now,
like it.
Even grandparents know how to do Zoom, you know? It's a good thing. I think it's a good thing.
That's so great for you. That's so great. Yeah, no, it can be. It can be if we weren't greedy bastards, which we are. And if the world wasn't ending, which it is. But, you know, whatever. Whatever. You know, I'm fine.
This
so, turned so that's,
you into
that's
a real
picked...
fatalist. My goodness.
Oh, welcome to season 2. The subtitle is Movies and Mayhem. We wanted more mayhem. That's what I'm bringing. That's what I'm bringing.
Here it comes. Yep, there it is.
Mayhem and chaos.
There it is.
So, that was my thinking with the technology movie. I wanted to pick a topic that would allow us to enjoy.
Yes.
This, the destruction of our beautiful, beautiful podcast. And you can see me blinking.
I
right
think
now.
It's the evolution. So I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
A technology movie. What does it mean to be a technology movie? I realize there's two elements that it has to incorporate.
What are those two elements?
Because technology means something, right? Like technology yeah. by itself, you can't hold a technology. It refers to a category of thing. And I think a piece of technology is something that has evolved in some way. It's taken something that's existed and bettered it or worsened it, but evolved it. It's moved it into a new form of existence. And a technology movie also has to examine our relationship to that as human beings. So it's the physical thing that is has been developed, has come into existence, and it's our reaction to it. And a good technology movie, that's what it looks at, I think. Would you agree?
I do agree. It's something being developed and it's our reaction to it. I actually think that's very, what I love about that is it keeps it general enough that so many things, you know, I mean, that's so many things. Creation. It's a movie of creation. And and these stories are about, you know, how we handle our creations. You know, I I'm a huge fan of that. I'm a huge fan of that definition. I think that's great. I think that's excellent. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that why you chose Bicentennial Man as your film?
Let me tell you a little story about Bicentennial Man. Because guys, Alex, just so you know, he put in our little justice group thread, he put is it GIF or GIF? I never know. Britt, is it a GIF or GIF? We talked about this last GIF. Time. GIF?
Yeah, it's GIF. It's
well,
not
first of all,
the
I asked
butter.
Britt. I just want to be clear about that. I asked Britt.
It's the opposite of the peanut butter.
It's not the peanut butter. Thank you. Well, wait, but the peanut butter
so
is GIF.
Peanut butter is GIF.
So it's GIF.
I don't think GIF.
No, it's the opposite
Thank
of the
you.
Peanut
no,
butter.
It's the same as the peanut butter.
Oh, fight.
I'm inclined to listen to Britt.
All right. Comments are down below. Let us know what you think about the GIF GIF debate. Smash that subscribe.
Stop saying that shit. Thank you, Britt. Thank you as always. Okay. Well, I'm gonna go with what Britt said, and I'm gonna say that it's GIF.
Okay.
And
you're gonna be wrong, and people are gonna be laughing at you this whole time.
They already are. You sent us a GIF of Bicentennial Man, of Robin Williams as a robot in that full robot. Was that him in that suit? Was that him at that point?
Yeah.
Wow.
Must have been.
Wow.
Must have been.
Well, you know, I'm going to...
You have feelings about Bicentennial Man?
I do. I was with it until they had that sex scene. Yeah, Brittany just put in our chat
that it is pronounced...
It's pronounced
GIF, not GIF. Just like the peanut butter. I don't want to say that I've spent this entire episode being right.
Bicentennial Man. So you sent us a GIF of this, and I was taken aback to, again, watching Robin Williams, you know, come to life as a real boy, as a robot real boy, and you know, have a family with Sam Neill and all these random things. Oliver Platt gives him a penis. Like, very strange film. Very strange film. And I was like, ooh, maybe I should choose that just to spite him. But I didn't choose that.
But you didn't.
I did not.
So you actually thought about choosing Bicentennial Man as the quintessential technology movie.
Just to spite you. I wish
I would have liked to talk about it. Here's the thing. I loved Bicentennial Man.
Oh,
when it
God.
Came out, I mean, we were young. It has such a beautiful story, okay? Bicentennial Man, like Data on Star Trek, right? It's about the search for what it means to be human. It's about making that journey all that it can be. It's about from beginning to end. It might take you 70 years. It might take you 250 years. You might end up marrying the guy who owned you, great granddaughter. I don't know. I don't know where life's going to take you. That's for you to decide. Okay, that's for you to find out. Maybe you're going to be robot Robin Williams with a... official penis. I don't know, but it's beautiful.
You know,
it's beautiful.
There's so many possibilities, of course, unless you're suffering from you know, systemic racism or some sort of prejudice, gender prejudice, you know. Basically anyone who's not a straight white man. That's not true for us, but it's true for you and true for Robin Williams in this movie. And I think that's so great. I think that's so great. And I applaud you for enjoying that lovely lovely fantasy. Ooh, wait. Ooh,
thank you.
New from Britt. Britt, wait, come in and tell us what you just found.
Newsweek declares it's GIF with a hard G. And there are linguistic professors to back it up in 2016.
Yes.
Yeah, Newsweek declares
their
a lot of
time
stuff, though.
That literally Time Magazine did a whole from 1987 to 2016 about the evolution of GIF and GIF. I'll drop it in the show notes.
So the mispronunciation was so vast that it became GIF.
People knew like that something should be pronounced GIF and not JIF, which is the peanut butter.
I don't like it.
I'm just saying Obama said it's peanut butter is also. Jiffy. Obama took a side in 2014, announcing his official position is that it is pronounced GIF, like a hard G, like a grape.
Like a fucking grape.
I don't like that we as a society can just get together and be like, let's just decide this word is different than it is.
That's,
I mean, I guess
literally
that's the history
of linguistics. Language, that's exactly what it is. That's precisely what it is. You know, do yourself a favor, real big tangent, but if you ever want to hear how crazy language is, go and listen to the original pronunciation of Shakespeare. Ben and David Crystal doing some amazing work out there on how Shakespeare actually sounded. It was completely different language, completely different English. But we won't get into that here. What we'll get into is why Bicentennial Man sucks. No, I'm kidding. Here's the other thing, guys. We don't trash movies on this channel. What we do is we uplift them. We do love movies. So
yeah,
we're not going to trash anything. I'm just annoyed that Alex tried to give me Bicentennial Man as a choice. No, Alex, I choose a movie that I think you'll enjoy. And I'll do what we do now. So again, first time listeners, what we do is we give you the first 5 minutes of the film. We describe it to you in vivid detail. And if you can guess what it is before I say it, you get nothing. You get nothing because I'm not really there with you. I can't give you anything. And I'm not going to take down your address. Are you insane? So just appreciate it for what it is. Try to guess, I suppose. Alex, are you ready to guess? Do you want me to go first?
Here we go.
Great. I'll go first.
I am ready. I think adding video chat, what it's done too, is given us a couple, like a 2 second lag in hearing each other because our computers are trying to send this to each other. So cut in and you're still speaking,
it's almost like, you know, we should know that this is too much. You know, our computers are trying to subtly tell us, hey, you guys, you're doing too much. Slow down.
It's not enough.
It's apropos.
Now, do you have a broadband Ethernet adapter that you could wire hard into your laptop?
Jesus fucking Christ.
We'll improve this connection.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to plug anything else in. My computer is already like lit up like Brainiac over here. I'm not going to do that.
Can we move your...
But what I... What?
Can we move your Wi-Fi router into your meditation bubble?
Nope.
You think a Wi-Fi router in there?
Nope. Deal with what you get. Let me tell you about this movie. We open. You're going to know it from like the first 2 seconds. And I'm very excited for you to know it.
Yeah.
We open. Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Some beautiful music. Yep.
Beautiful.
Some beautiful rock music.
It's beautiful.
We zero in on a bar.
Yes, we do.
Young white couple is. Well, I would say it's the actors Jesse Eisenberg and Rooney Mara, and they're having a discussion about punching the pork, joining the Porcellian, which is one of the clubs on campus at Harvard, and you know,
you said it already. I'm not going to cut anything. I can't cut anything.
You're not
now. We're live. We got video.
You can edit the video. You can cut back and forth between me and you. Oh my God. Do you know what the movie is? You know what the movie is?
The movie, of course, The Social Network.
I can't connect.
The network's down.
Unless it's a coincidence, I think this is us.
It's not a coincidence.
Holy shit.
Great. Why did
I
choose it?
And then we can play the music. I got to figure out how the clips are going to pop up now. Because I figure while you're talking about it, we can have it like blurred out. I don't know. You guys will see. if you're watching it now, you'll see how I already figured it out. But I haven't figured it out yet.
Oh, my God.
Technology.
Why did I choose it?
Because it's about technology. It's a great choice, actually. I considered it. I considered choosing it also. It's yeah. And there's very few movies like it. Because I remember when it came out.
Yeah,
and we just watched it recently. My wife and I, she'd never seen it. It was weird that a movie about Facebook, which is like Facebook, this was like peak Facebook. It hadn't yet kind of gone off in the alt-right direction. You know, the whole disrupting the world balance direction. It was like peak. Everyone's on Facebook, still updating their relationship status. And it was weird that a movie could be so good and poignant while being about the creation of basically like a social media company that, you know, basically when it came out was still in its infancy.
Is it about technology?
It's, well, again, let's look at the two things. It's about the evolution of something, right? It's really about, because it's a guy who wanted to meet girls in college, creates this thing. He completely changes the way that we as human beings, as world citizens, interact with each other and satisfy needs and desires that we have in terms of our connections to other people, right? Yeah. That wasn't the goal. Yeah. The goal was to create a way to find out who had a girlfriend. But this piece of technology evolves. Then you see the repercussions of what that means. And what I love about it is it's very meta in the sense that as you're watching it, you're also checking your Facebook at the same time. Like, it's such an ingrained part of life at this point. And even when it came out, it was such an ingrained part of life that you're laying your own experience with that piece of technology against the movie as it's happening.
I went to check my email and there's a website open on your computer.
Yeah, after you passed out last night, I went on the Facebook for a little bit.
What's that?
The Facebook? Stanford's had it for like 2 weeks now. It's really awesome, except it's freakishly addictive. Seriously, I'm on the thing like 5 times a day.
Mind if I send myself an email?
Yeah, is everything okay?
Everything's great. I just need to find you, Mark Zuckerberg.
I would argue that the reason The Social Network works for me as the technology movie is because it's not about technology at its core. Here is, there's some, someone on Twitter said something that I love, which is the best genre movies are not about the genre until 15, 20, 30 minutes in. Until the terrorists come over and take over Nakatomi Plaza. In Die Hard, Die Hard is about a cop and a wife with a strained relationship trying to get back together. Until RoboCop becomes RoboCop, right? The movie is about a cop who is trying to do the right thing in a system that won't allow him to do that. He needs backup. He becomes RoboCop. Social Network is about one thing. One thing. So the app, the thing that becomes Facebook is an extrapolation of it. It's friendship.
Mm-hmm.
It's a movie about friendship. It's a movie about friendship between specifically these two guys, Mark Zuckerberg and Eduardo Saverin. And, you know, it's so interesting to watch the movie because you see as this thing grows, they have the idea. Mark has the idea. It's, you know, at first, yes, it's a horribly misogynistic, terrible idea. And then he grows it into something else. You know, once he talks to the Winklevi, the Winklevoss twins, he gets the idea to turn it into an app, turn it into a thing. And then it grows into something else and grows into something else. And the Sancho Panza to his Don Quixote the whole time is Eduardo Saverin, who's there funding it and they're being loyal to him. And then when they bring on Sean Parker, played by Justin Timberlake, who wants to turn it into a corporation, a business, like a thing, Eduardo is rightfully so apprehensive. Says, well, we don't even know, how can we, we don't, he says he actually parrots things that Mark said before, which is like, why would we put, we don't even know what this thing is yet. Why are we trying to drive it like this? But Sean is all about, no, you know, it's cooler than $1 million, $1 billion, and you can do all these things and blah, 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 blah. And eventually, Mark's commitment to making this thing the biggest flashing light to I'm special, look at me, I'm smart, ever, becomes what destroys his friendship with Eduardo Saverin. So if we're talking about technology and about growing things too fast, about having a good thing and fucking it up, who am I and who are you?
You laid in bed last night and you mapped that whole metaphor out.
Who am I and who are you?
You just dug through every scene in that movie and like, how can this further relate to... The thing is, they both walked away with tons of money and I bet they're friends now. You know, after the trials and tribulations, who do you think you are? In this,
oh, I think
comparison.
I'm Eduardo. I'm pretty positive that I'm Eduardo.
I am the mastermind behind this podcast. I'm the driving force.
You would think
I'm the one people care about.
You would, you're the Mark Zuckerberg of this podcast. I'm actually going to say that you're the Sean Parker. I'm going to say that you invented Napster.
Yeah, see, I wasn't going to
say,
I don't think I'm the Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. You are the Mark Zuckerberg. Me and Britt kind of hold the yes, we hold the Sean Park. We hold the Eduardo Saverin slots, right? Because we're two good-hearted people.
Well, I was going
to
say, just if there's only three options, mm-hmm. and you're Eduardo Saverin, and I'm Sean Parker, then Brittany is Mark Zuckerberg.
Whoa.
And sorry, I would give her Mark. You're I would Mark give her Mark, except Brittany's not a dick. Do you know what I mean? Brittany's a good person. So
that's
I'll give her Mark that's Zuckerberg,
fair.
But with the caveat that Brittany makes the right choice in this scenario. Do you know what I mean? Or at least doesn't leave her friend behind. You know?
Now
like,
I'm
like
surprised.
Mark, like Sean
I'm
Parker
surprised that you
wants.
I'm surprised that you would not make me the 6-foot blonde, you know, silver spoon.
The Winklevoss.
Asshole brothers.
The Winklevoss. Yeah. Yeah. I thought about it. But let me tell you why.
Who's a cannibal
because,
in real life, right?
The Winklevoss? Are they cannibals?
Please Google Army Hammer cannibal.
Britt.
Please Google it. I'm so
Britt,
ready for you to know this.
Please Google Army Hammer.
You don't know about this?
I don't know about this. What are you talking about? Are
God,
you guys about to make
it's all the technology. Use technology more. You know that Army Hammer likes to drink blood, sir. Okay? This is what you miss out on when you're like, oh, don't use soul
food. Yeah, he's got some abusive fetishes.
Army Hammer likes to drink blood?
He does. Apparently not such a nice guy. Not such
Britt,
a nice
Britt, you're confirming this.
Guy.
Yeah, I can confirm what I have read online.
See, we can't see the link, but just the URL, Army Hammer Sex Cannibal. I mean, that's a movie I'd watch.
But in all seriousness, apparently a
terrible, abusive person who is very rightfully being shunted out of society at the moment. Did you like Army Hammer? Is this...
Are you
bummed now because this made me the perfect choice?
No, you are. Well, now you are Army Hammer. You absolutely are Army Hammer in this movie. You're both of them. You're both him and his double. But yeah, Alex, that's why I chose The Social Network. That's my.
I think that's a great choice. Yeah, I think The Social Network's a great choice. I think in terms of looking at a movie about what effect technology is having on us as a society, it doesn't get more current than that, even though it's kind of old at this point. It makes you really understand the new era that we have moved into, right? There really is like a hard split, the new social media era. It's not a fad. it's not a whatever. Like, everything has changed from that point on, and you start to see it the further we get from Social Network and that time, the more you realize, like, that wasn't just, because that's why it was weird when it came out as a movie. You thought, it's Facebook, like, it's a fad, like, why is there a creation story about a product that just came into existence? Because we didn't understand the implications of it. Now you look back and you're like, oh god, like, good thing that movie is there to tell us what this was as it was happening, you know.
So we've learned nothing.
We've learned nothing less. We've actually moved way backwards.
I was drunk and angry and stupid.
And blogging. Pay them. In the scheme of things, it's a speeding ticket. That's what Cy will tell you tomorrow.
Do you think anybody would mind if I stayed and used the computer for a minute?
I can't imagine it would be a problem.
Thanks. I appreciate your help today.
You're not an asshole, Mark. You're just trying so hard to be.
Way
what
back.
Is your movie?
All right. My movie. You'll also get it. I went through. I've wanted to avoid bringing this movie up. It's one of the few that I love. It's very obviously I love this movie. Very obviously it's a classic. It's very talked about, very analyzed, very much part of the like cinema, you know, zeitgeist, whatever, which is why I've wanted to avoid talking about it. But when I was thinking about a technology movie, about what does it, like, what movie really examines the potential of technology, the relationship to humanity, all of it, this one is just perfect. It's perfect for looking at it. So we don't open for a while. It's black screen, music plays. It's kind of an overture plays. And then that stops, oh, and the credits start to roll. It's the sun coming up over the earth. See, we're in a lag, so we can't really sync that up, but that's okay.
Of course,
cut to some monkeys. Cut to there. There's some pigs. Monkeys are trying to survive. Now, eventually, these monkeys, they get mad at each other. They want to fight, but they're monkeys. They can just yell at each other. They can kind of, you know, whatever. Until, and this is the dawn of man, right? This is how the movie describes the beginning of what humanity is. This is the spark that separates us from the primordial, you know, fabric, away from the beasts. Is one of them picks up a bone off the ground and uses it to kill another monkey. It learns how to use a tool, and it uses it, the very first use of a tool in the history of humanity, the first piece of technology, is a weapon. And then he throws it up in there. There's that famous show. What's the movie? I've gone on too long.
2001. A Space Dumbassery.
Thank you.
It is. See why I didn't really want to talk about it, but I feel like for our first video episode too.
No, it's
very it's very cinematic.
This is great.
It's very, you know, we're not going to talk about these you know, film school bullshit movies all the time. Kind of like to stay away from them if we can. But this one is too related to what we're talking about.
Talk to me about Talk to me. Talk to me about this movie.
Yeah. Well, so
because I agree. I fully agree. There's not.
I've seen it more times than God. Like I've watched this movie a lot. Usually, I'll make it through about three quarters of it before I'm asleep, which is the hallmark of any good movie, right? You want to be asleep before it's over. I saw it one time at the Hollywood Bowl with a live orchestra, which was incredible.
That would be amazing.
Which was incredible. This movie, it's one of those movies, it's Stanley Kubrick, it's Arthur C. Clarke. They like wrote it together. I've read the book. They like wrote the book and did the movie in conjunction. So the whole movie is based on idea, right? It's like the biggest film director of the time sat down with the biggest sci-fi author of the time. They said, "Let's make a sci-fi story." And they just talked about what it could be about. Not even the plot points. They like, what if we examine this way, right? We look at technology and humanity and consciousness and all this stuff. And they hashed out a general story. And then Clark went off and wrote the book based on whatever conversations they had. And Kubrick went off and made the movie. It wasn't like one based on the other. It was like running along a similar idea line. They created these two separate products. So the movie is not... The movie is trying to explore, right? It's kind of a challenge upon Kubrick to explore it in a way unique to him and use what's going on, you know, to cut at deeper things because it's going to be challenged by a literary source, basically. And what happens is like a movie created like that, what you're going to end up with is something where every time you watch it, there's something else to dig into, right? It's like the people who broke down The Shining. You know, there's like, because you don't know really what goes into the making of a movie, there's kind of an infinite pool of stuff that you can conceptualize, that you can imagine goes into it. And they meant to do that. They didn't mean to do that. This means this. This means that. Like your English teacher trying to tell you what Fahrenheit 451 is about. You know, like there's themes and symbols and all this stuff, whether they're there or not. But given the context of how this was created and why it was created, I think there actually is a lot of reason to break it down in that way. So you look at what it means to be a human, which is the baseline story. Anything starts there, examines personhood. And then in terms of technology, it you know, we move immediately from apes at the beginning to spaceships, right? Which in the history of the universe is a very small gap of time. But we put this big thing on it. What the movie's really about, and I don't think a lot of people pick up on it because it's very long, it's very dry, is the next phase, right? It's a three-part story where the first part is really short. It's just a little section at the beginning. And then we move into the modern day. Even though it's in the future, it's modern day. It's us now using our tools the way we use them, whatever. And we're introduced, you know, it starts with the scientists going to the moon where they found this obelisk that's emanating something they don't understand, right? And so we've gone from to scientists who are all about trying to rationalize the world. And now we're introduced, the obelisk is basically just the bone, right? It's this introduction of a new aspect of the story of our existence. And then after this happens, right, they're on a ship and it becomes the technology that becomes self-aware, that goes crazy. And in battling that, it gets warpy and trippy. And again, I could be totally wrong about this, but that's been my, over the many times I've watched it, that's kind of my analysis of it. So like, in terms of looking at what technology does, what we use it for, what we think we use it for, right? Like, why make progress at all? Where is it leading? What does it do? Mm-hmm. And what do we do to transcend mm-hmm. it? Like, can we create a product? Can we create a thing? Can we improve on something that is going to move us forward as a species? Right? Can it transform our existence? Or are we just making things easier until we die? Like,
I've still got the greatest enthusiasm and confidence in the mission. And I want to help you. Dave, stop. Stop, will you? Stop, Dave.
But this, well, and this gets into, I think, a theme that's common in all of Stanley Kubrick's movies, right? Because you look at 2001, you look at Barry Lyndon, you look at Eyes Wide Shut, certainly The Shining, certainly Clockwork Orange, are all these movies about people and what they're willing to do for power, right? This what are you mm-hmm. what are the steps that you're willing to take to feel more secure in your life? You know, for Jack Nicholson coming into the Overlook Hotel, truly, right? This is a person who is struggling with alcoholism, is trying to find a way to, he's trying to get his family back together, but really what he's trying to do is get his own power back, right? His family is a nuisance. They're an annoyance. That's why, you know, Stephen King hated the movie, because it just, from the beginning, you knew that his family was pissing him off. So he allows himself to be taken over by this thing, right? And it's very similar to Clockwork Orange, this idea of, you know, these kids who are experiencing what can only be described as insane amounts of freedom at the cost of the safety of their community, right? Barry Lyndon, obviously about dueling and about all these, you know, but it's constant. It's a constant exploration of, I mean, truly, the idea that we go to violence to find ourselves. Even Eyes Wide Shut is a movie about violence. You know, it's sex as violence, but the idea that you have to risk your marriage.
Would you say that it's violence, or it's about the elements that actually make us up, right? And violence is part of that. It's who we actually are when you rub away the facade.
I would agree with that. Yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah. Who people are under, and that is, and so technology then becomes an extension of that, right? Technology is, mm-hmm. it's why it's so scary, because it represents our deepest desire. When you write, you know, Alex is a novelist. He's written like many, like several thousand pages, but, you know, one of the things that we have talked about when we talk about what Alex is working on is the fact that you can't hide who you are in your creation, right? Anybody who's directing, even if you're directing a Marvel film, you know, like a movie that has so many execs on it and so many studio heads on it and people telling you, well, this needs to be this and this needs to do this. You can't hide yourself. I look at your movie and there's something of you in your movie, for better or worse. And I think that technology lays bare mm-hmm. who we are. There's no way to, you know, the things that we build because we need them, right? And I say need with air quotes. So I think that this exploration of, exactly like you said, it's at the core, what does that say about us that we are searching for these things and going after these things and building AI that potentially, you know, deems to destroy us? Like, what does that say about us? You know, and that's, I think, what to your point, all of his films definitely seem to explore. You know, so like, what does it say about you?
I would agree with that.
What does it say about you that you mm-hmm. felt the need to put yourself on YouTube?
I am an insufferable, vain, attractive person who needs validation from strangers.
I think that starting with that level of honesty is what's going to set our channel apart. Guys, you don't come...
Start here.
You don't come here for the bullshit. You come here because we're going to tell you how it is. And I really appreciate Alex just saying what it is. You know, if you're still hanging,
it's just what it is.
If you're still hanging out with us at this point, you're already in. You know, so you might as well.
You're in, so you might as well smash that subscribe. Links in the bio. Merch store coming.
We're not opening a fucking merch store.
There's other stuff. Oh, you know what we should do? Britt can help us with this. We should link in the description the time code to the choice, the beginning of the choices. So if people are on a tight schedule and they just want to see what the choices are, we can jump straight to it. Yeah, Britt likes it.
And if you want to just get to know us as people, use this technology to actually have a verifiable connection instead of zipping through your fucking day like Brer Rabbit in Splash Mountain. You know what I mean? You can just watch the thing. Just watch the thing.
Watch the thing. Now, here's another thing about us is the Disney parks.
Yeah.
Big Disney parks fan. Are they replacing Splash Mountain?
Yes.
This is what I've heard.
It's happening.
With what?
It's out. With Princess and the Frog theme.
Amazing.
Princess and the Frog theme. Yep. Perfect. So we got to ride that racist ride one more time. And then they're doing the overlay for Polynesian. It's not Polynesian anymore. It's Moana now. It's all Moana over at the Polynesian resort. Yeah. Of course it is. Got to sell that IP, buddy. Got to sell that IP. All right. Well, guys, listen, we hope you've enjoyed this first inaugural season 2 episode of Little Justice Movies and Mayhem. You know, if you do enjoy, come on back. We do this. I think our release schedule is every other week or I don't know. I don't know anymore. I don't know because we're in a new phase, but the release schedule will, I'm sure, be in the show notes.
We're
check
in a
it
new
out.
Phase. We're playing around. We're testing
it out. Come visit with us. Come enjoy. We love you. We'll see you soon. Have a wonderful old day there.
Little justice, little justice, little justice. Fuck yeah.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.